From the Atlantic to the Pacific, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we are pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests. And that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild world. So keep it tuned right here. We're going to talk a little bit this hour about Scientology. I've got some audio we'll be playing for you shortly. Also, at some point, we'll get a little report from Kelly Griffin about paranormal media and paranormal pop culture. We have plenty of other weird stories we can dig into. One thing I would like to point out is, you know, Forrest and I are about the same age, and we both are very fortunate that we have good parents who are my mom and dad were high school sweethearts. Your mom and dad have been together forever, right, Forrest?
They have been.
And in fact, I see a lot of similarities between my parents and your parents. There have been times we've gotten together, hung out, had Christmas parties and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And everybody has a ball. And, you know, I've spent the night at your mom and dad's house before we've gone off onto a cruise or an adventure. And, of course, you've done a lot of great things for my mom and dad. And as a matter of fact, you know, your father, John Connor, the notorious John Connor, he was even on our National Geographic special a few years ago.
Brown Mountain.
Yeah, Brown Mountain. And this weekend is going to be your mother, Sharon's, birthday. Isn't that right, Forrest?
It is. She's going to be 70 years old.
Now, is she going to be happy that you said that on the air?
I'm sure she won't mind. She won't.
I'm going to have to tell her on Saturday. She was all her age.
And that said, happy birthday, Sharon. I would never guess that you were 70 years old. I was shocked to hear that because you have you've maintained all of your vitality and beauty and youth, and so I hope that you're going to have
We had a big celebration. We had a big celebration earlier today for her birthday.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's right. All right. Saturday. All right. Gotcha. So it's actually today is
yes.
The birthday. Okay. Well, in that case.
Actually, her birthday was last night. It was Friday night. But we had the big celebration today.
All right. Well, in that case, happy birthday, Sharon. We wish you all the best, and I believe that, you know, I don't want to spill any beans here on the air, but I'm pretty sure there are quite a few surprises that are in store for you this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Let me just say this about Scientology. Again, I have never read Dianetics or any of the books by L. Ron Hubbard. Have any of you?
No.
Okay, so we are not speaking from any personal experience. I have friends who have dabbled in Scientology, and they say that basically there is some good, helpful, meaty stuff there, especially toward the first few courses and first few levels that kind of, attract you to the legitimacy of Scientology. And I don't doubt that it does great things for a lot of people. But it's weird because it is a newer religion, and it attracts a lot of celebrities. And, of course, I think everybody knows there is no bigger advocate of Scientology than Tom Cruise. And who knows how much you can believe about what you see in the media, but I have read from a variety of sources that one of the factors in the split-up between Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes was disagreement about the role of Scientology, perhaps in raising their daughter or something like that. But whatever the case, when you hear these things, it makes you curious once again, like, what exactly is the issue here? You know, what's going on here that might be causing a problem?
And in fact, not too long ago, I was watching television, and the movie Phenomenon came on with John Travolta, and I was reminded, well, you know, John Travolta, he's a Scientologist. So I started doing a little bit of research, and I found that in the 90s, there was this orientation video that was made if you were to consider becoming a Scientologist. And I know that, like, the last time I was in Los Angeles, there was a Scientology shop, I guess you'd call it, and the windows were all covered, and I was almost thinking about walking in the door just to see what the experience was going to be like, but at the same time, I was like, I don't want to have to deal with this right now, because I got that feeling I was going to walk in and somebody's going to try to sell me something, right? That's my feeling. I don't know. My understanding is you go in there and they start the auditing process where you basically hold on to something like a galvanometer where they're just measuring electrical signals, and then they're going to ask you things like, you know, tell me about all your terrible memories. And I think that's what they do. They force you, in a way, to come to terms with your dark memories, bad experiences that you've had, to confront those experiences and then release yourself from them. And that sounds like a very therapeutic thing to do. But anyway, however that process works, apparently once you we'll say hooked enough to be like, okay, I want to go further with this, I want to learn more about it, there comes a point when they'll actually sit you down and they'll show you this orientation video. But apparently, from what I've read, before you could even watch this video, you would have to sign a document saying that you would keep the contents of the video a secret, pretty much, and, you know, that this is something that's proprietary, blah, blah, blah. Well, nowadays, of course, you can't keep anything digital, anything in the media, a secret. Somebody's always going to whip out a cell phone or something and record whatever they're seeing on the screen. And so this orientation video has been leaked, and it's been put up on YouTube. It's easy enough to find. I would not be bringing this up to you if I did not feel 100% certain that this is legitimate. So this is not like some type of, you know, satire. It's a real Scientology orientation movie. It's about 30 minutes long. I watched it. And I'll be honest with you, just from watching the video, there is this kind of, like, clinical creepiness about it. And it's... They all really kind of look brainwashed in the video. I'll put it that way. So anyway, here's the thing. I'm watching this video, and I got right to the end of it, and I thought that there is no better way of expressing to you kind of the weirdness of this thing than the last 90-second chunk of this orientation video. So we're going to play the audio for you. And this movie is hosted by a man named Larry Anderson. We'll talk more about him in a minute. So here is a 90-second clip of the end, the big climax of what, you know, how they've decided is the appropriate way to word that clincher. You know, this what this guy is about to say, this is supposed to clinch you in the orientation video. So just listen to the words and enjoy.
Bye. You don't have to believe us or even trust us. If you work with Scientology, you will find out for yourself. What's true is what is true for you. You have a friend. He worked for half a century in a violent and often unkind world to open the gate for you. We are here to help you put yourself on the trail that leads up. If you fall off, you back on. But it is up to you. It is how you use it that counts. For you are the one that counts. If you leave this room after seeing this film and walk out and never mention Scientology again, you are perfectly free to do so. It would be stupid, but you can do it. You can also dive off a bridge or blow your brains out. That is your choice. But if you don't walk out that way, if you continue with Scientology, we will be very happy with you. And you will be very happy with you. You will have proven that you are a friend of yours. We here in this org are really just doormen to the great highway found and built by Ron into a better future.
And this is where the video gets a little bit, you know, wacky, because it was, again, it's a leaked video, so we can stop it right there. But I watched this, and I was like, I want a T-shirt that just says, "It would be stupid, but you can do it. You can walk out of this door right now. You can also dive off a bridge or blow your brains out." I mean, isn't that classic? That's great stuff. I was watching you, Shelley. You know what's funny? We're listening to this. Now, of course, Kelly Griffin here, she has hearing problems. So Forrest is over there giving her the sign language version of this. Forrest, what is the sign language version of "it would be stupid, but you can do it"?
Basically, it would be stupid, or like you just put your
not to your forehead.
Yeah. Well, put the big the sign for I up to your forehead, like you're an idiot.
Yeah. Okay. How what is the sign for "blow your brains out"? Yeah, just that simple enough.
Yeah,
just gun to the head.
Yeah.
It would be stupid, but you can do it. That's.
No, I thought he was joking when he did that. He was making up his own version.
I bet you did. That's what I was thinking when I was watching this. Like, wow, this is so awesome, but at the same time, so, like, unbelievable. And we're going to take a break here soon, but let me just tell you, the guy who is the host of this video is named Larry Anderson. And he is an actor. He's been in a bunch of different shows. You can look his name up. He's a magician and everything. And he was one of their top dudes. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to tell you what Larry Anderson now says about doing that, because he is no longer a part of the Church of Scientology. He's what they call a suppressed person. Shelley, did you enjoy that? That little audio clip?
Oh, yes, I did. I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah. We're going to play for you when we come back what Larry Anderson now says, or part of what he says, about why that he left the Church of Scientology. And, you know, it's just, it's funny and it's weird, but you got to respect people who have the balls to just say things like that in an orientation video. Stick around for that and a lot more. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and, well, you're listening to Speaking of Strange.
We are building a religion. We are building it bigger. We are widening the corridors and adding more lanes. We are building a religion, a limited edition. We are now accepting callers for these pendant keychains. Your resistance is useless. It is useless to resist it. His cigarette is burning, but he never seems to ash. He is grooming his poodle. He is living comfort ego. You can meet at his location, but you'd better come with cash. Now his hat is on backwards. He can show you his tattoo. He's in the music business. He is calling you dude. Now today is tomorrow, and tomorrow today. And yesterday is weaving in and out, out. And the fluffy white lines that the airplane leaves behind are drifting right in front of the wing of the moon. He is handling the money. He's serving the food. He knows about your party. He is calling you dude. Now, do you believe in the one big sign? The devil white shine on the blue heels of your prime. Doesn't matter if you're skinny. Doesn't matter if you're fat. You can can dress up like a sultan in your onion head hat. We are building a religion. We're making a brand. We're the only ones that turn to when your counsels turn to sand. Take a bite of this apple, Mr. Corporate, and then take a walk through the jungle for cardboard shanties and tents. Some people drink Pepsi, some people drink Coke. The wacky morning DJ says democracy's a joke. He says, now do you believe in the one big song? He's now accepting callers who would like to sing along. He says, do you believe in the one true edge? By fastening your safety belt and stepping toward the ledge.
Yet speaking of strange, the show where the unusual becomes usual, we're talking a little bit about Scientology on tonight's program. And there are a lot of reasons to, you know, readdress this. I mean, as I mentioned last hour, I talked to a very successful dentist in Kansas City, Missouri, who had sunk something like $25,000 into it before he got out. And I'm going to pick back up here in a minute and talk some more. But speaking of money, one of the big sponsors of this program is the Sunshine Simple Solar Generator for the Home. And obviously, there have been a lot of power outages recently. Practically the whole country of, what was it, India or something, was out of power. If you are interested in never having to worry about being out of power or being out of fuel or any of that, go to sunshinesimple.com and watch the short free video I do there demonstrating why the Sunshine Simple generator is a special device. You know, in this orientation video that we played the clip from last segment, there are cameos from a variety of celebrities. John Travolta makes a cameo in it. Kirstie Alley. Ann Archer. I think, is it even, might even, I'm not sure if it's in the video or not. I know that that Chef from South Park, what's his, Isaac Hayes. I know that Isaac Hayes was a Scientologist. He's dead now. But then again, his Thetan apparently is just reincarnating in a different form so he can continue cleansing himself from the darkness of Xenu. But nonetheless, this guy, Larry Anderson, who was an actor who was so successful in the church that he became, you know, a big, big spokesperson. I mean, this is a guy who, he did a lot of work in the 1980s. He did appearances on shows like Knight Rider, Mork and Mindy, The A-Team. Good 80s material right there, buddy. Actually, Mork and Mindy, did Mork and Mindy go into the 80s, or was that all 70s far?
It went into the 80s.
Did it? Yeah. Wow, okay. So, anyway, Larry Anderson, he has been in the news over the past maybe couple years here because it was embarrassing for the church that he was sort of the spokesperson, but he got out of the Church of Scientology and is fighting to get over $100,000 back from them. The policy was supposed to be that if you give them a certain amount of money for a certain amount of services, but if you decide that you want to leave, then they'll just refund you for what you didn't receive, something along those lines. Well, anyway, Larry Anderson, the same guy who just delivered those lines that you heard, saying it would be stupid, but you can do it. You can also dive off a bridge or blow your brains out. The very same guy who said those words, he did an interview with John Gambling, a radio host at WOR 710 in New York. And he was explaining why that he's out of the church now. And it's a great interview. You can find it online. But here's about a two-minute clip from what Larry Anderson is now saying.
The Church of Scientology, they have set fees. They are fees. They like to call them donations because it fits more nicely with the tax-exempt status they have, but they are set fees for set services, and it's run very much like a business. And now, all these years later, I really, with my exposure to the inner workings of the management and my disappointment with the spiritual enlightenment that I was supposed to get at each of these levels, I began to really look at this as more of a money machine and a business, and really have my eyes open to.
So are you more enlightened today than you were in the 70s when you started?
Boy, in more ways than one. Certainly, one of the interesting things about these fees for services is another thing that makes it very much like a business is you can get some deep discounts on these very, very expensive services, which encourages people then to buy a package, you know, because that's when you get the bigger discounts. So,
you mean you can buy your way into Scientology heaven?
Oh, yes, you can absolutely buy spiritual enlightenment at the Church of Scientology. And so I put a lot of money down at a time when I was much more flush than other times, you know, with the acting career going up and down. That's the nature of our business. I had a couple series, so I had some good money, and I bought this all these levels of the bridge, and now I've only received about half of those services and decided I don't want to go on with the rest of them. And the Church has a policy that if you haven't used the money on that you have on your account, everybody has an account at the Church of Scientology, then all you need to do is ask for that money back, and their policy is that they will refund it. It's not services I've gotten yet. It's just my money sitting there gaining interest for the Church of Scientology, and they just don't seem to want to give it back and follow policy. So,
and he goes on and on and on about very specific scenarios that he has encountered, and so it's just, it'd be one thing if this was just some guy who dropped out of the church and has an axe to grind, but when it's the guy who was the spokesman in the orientation video, it means a lot. You'd think that as much money as the church has, they'd want to just keep that guy quiet. It's like, here's $100,000, go.
Just shut up and
don't
say anything. Sign this contract.
Right. You know, when you've got Tom Cruise money behind you, you should be okay. So anyway, you can draw your own conclusions. And by playing this stuff, I am not in any way saying that I understand on an individual level about the rewards of Scientology or the downside of Scientology. All I know is that there are a lot of people who claim that once you get involved in it on a church level, it's a little different than the philosophy of Scientology was supposed to be. So, what do you think, Shelley Wright?
It is not for me.
You don't have enough money for that, do you?
I do not have enough money for that.
That's what we're all thinking. If only we can afford that.
Oh, yeah.
To be Scientologists.
If you become a Scientologist, you're going to make money, so therefore you can give money.
That's the idea. I mean, Kelly, you were saying that we won't use any names, but you know, you know of a lot of celebrities who supposedly are doing very well right now because their career got boosted.
Yeah, a few years after they joined the church, they've got new shows, blockbuster movies, and you know, I'm just curious as to how it puts them out there like that, you know, with the popularity and celebrity status, I guess.
Well, you know, speaking of which, let's talk a little bit about what's been happening now in the paranormal pop culture and the media, and be sure to get your microphone right up there next year. So, you saw some movies recently. One of them is The Watch. Now, this is a comedy with Ben Stiller, Vince Vaughn,
Jonah Hill.
I've heard bad reviews about that, but what do you think?
I thought the movie was hilarious.
Did you?
I guess
we should start by saying the movie is about some guys who have a neighborhood watch who end up stumbling upon an alien invasion conspiracy.
Right.
Okay.
And they found out that several of the citizens in the neighborhood were actually aliens that had taken over the bodies of some of the neighbors and the people in the community, you know, and they just start doing the undercover work and, you know, outside the police, and they tried to tell the police, they didn't believe them, you know, they thought they were, you know, joking, but.
So it was a funny movie.
Right.
We have less than a minute till our break here, but just tell us quickly before the break, was there anything about it that surprised you?
Yes, that there's a comedy about an alien invasion. You know, usually alien invasions seem like very serious movies, and, you know, the aliens are coming to blow up the world and everything, but they just had a really interesting take on the whole alien invasion.
And without spoiling it, I mean, can you tell us in, like, a sentence what the interesting take was, or...
Yes, but they ended up, you know, taking care of the invasion themselves rather than going to the CIA or calling in the government and, you know, laid a siege on Costco.
Okay. Well, we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll also talk a little bit about Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
Broadcasting from Asheville, North Carolina, land of the sky, you're listening to Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and hour number two of the program. Well, we've talked some about Scientology. We've got more weird news on the way. And also, you know, we're talking a little bit about what's been happening in the media lately. Now, I saw Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, and you just saw it as well, Kelly Griffin.
About 2 weeks ago.
What would you say about that film?
I think it was a great movie. I mean, on different levels. I didn't find out until after I saw the movie, and I don't know if a lot of people know this, but the author, Seth Graham Smith, mm-hmm. of the book, he also wrote Pride, Prejudice, and Zombies. He actually drew it off of historical records of Abraham Lincoln's obsession with dark, gothic, vampire, you know, just really macabre, is that how you said it wrong?
Yeah.
And he actually memorized Edgar Allan Poe word for word.
Wow.
And it was very dark. And he also... There was a William Knox was a Scottish writer that wrote Mortality,
mm-hmm.
and he always quoted that in his speeches, and it's very dark, you know, about death and things like that. And most people actually think that he wrote, that Abraham Lincoln wrote that, rather than
William Knox. What's funny is that I have known for years, especially like when I was in high school, I had to do like a video project. And so I did a video project about a lot of the sort of dark behaviors of sort of notable figures. And Abraham Lincoln, throughout his entire life,
he had this sense that something bad was going to happen to him.
Right.
And it's funny because it almost seems like some historical confirmation of precognition.
Right.
You know, he couldn't have really known the position that he was going to end up being put in his life in general. And obviously, you know, he had one of the most difficult positions that any president has ever had. And he held seances at the White House.
Yes.
Especially to try to appease his wife after they lost one of their children. And one thing that I find really fascinating about Abraham Lincoln is that when he died, and keep in mind, we all have seen these photographs of Abe Lincoln with these deep, weathered marks of age in his face and sort of his sunken features and this, you know, very sort of shadowy demeanor that he was sort of projecting. He was only 56 when he died. And we all know people who are way older than 56 who don't look anywhere close to as old as Abraham Lincoln appears in all these pictures. So it makes you wonder if destiny is a real thing, if he recognized that he was going to be in the middle of the most violent episode of our nation's history.
Yes.
And regardless of how we think Abraham Lincoln performed, and that's a whole different ballgame, imagine, you know, being in a position where you have to think, when I order an army to march down into some state and just kill men, women, children, is that going to weigh on my personal soul?
Exactly.
That's one thing I've always thought would be difficult about being the governor of a state that has the death penalty. I mean, it's easy to say, well, hey, the courts decided this person should be executed, and so I'm not going to get in the way. Let the guy be executed. That's easy, and maybe that is the sensible, logical way of handling a criminal. But there has to come some point when a thoughtful person in that position wonders, is this the same as me murdering this person, right? Is it the same? This is an unanswerable question, I guess. I mean, I personally have no problem whatsoever with the death penalty, personally. But if I were in the position where you brought somebody to me who was about to be executed and you said, it's all up to you, yeah, thumbs up or thumbs down,
right. Yeah.
How would I feel about that?
That would be weighing on your soul.
It has to.
You know, it's easy to do things when you're not directly involved.
Yeah.
You can be kind of removed from it. It's not going to weigh on you as much.
Yeah.
But if you actually go in and you talk to that person that's about to be, you know, put to death, it's going to weigh on you forever, you know.
Yeah.
Just weigh on your soul. He just seemed like, in, you know, Abraham Lincoln in real life, removed from the movie, but he had so much more weighing on him than just the stuff about the war. He seemed broken, I guess.
Yeah, he always sort of appeared that way from what we can tell.
Right.
Well, you know, it's a great and interesting thing, you know, that nowadays we've reached the point where we can take these alternative views of history and historical figures, we can merge them with fantastic scenarios like that, and it was a great film to see in 3D, and I also... you know, we talked about it last week, Forrest. I would have liked to have seen Batman in 3D as well.
Yeah, but I don't think you're ever going to get the chance to do that.
No, well, it will not the way that it could have been done, because the director didn't want to do it that way. But it's fascinating, though, that we can take, like, for me, when I was watching that movie, Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter, one thing that I enjoyed most of all was just seeing Abraham Lincoln produced in 3D. Did you guys see it in 3D?
No.
Okay.
No.
Wow. You missed out on the 3D.
We did.
Because I think the guy who played Abe Lincoln did a really good job. The makeup was a little wishy-washy later on.
Well, the guy that played Abraham Lincoln did a real good job, and they made Mary Todd Lincoln look great in that movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's kind of homely in real life.
But that's one of the wonderful things about technology. It allows us to be able to look back and see in reality, to some extent, what the past may have appeared like, which brings me to this story from the Netherlands about this millionaire who has built this two-scale replica of Noah's Ark. And, of course, you know, it describes in the book of Genesis 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, etc. So, anyway, this guy, he did all the conversions, and from what I understand, his ark turned out to be 450 feet long. That's really big. 450. I'm not sure how long a football field is. I'm sure Brian Hall would be disappointed to hear that. But do you know, Forrest?
Football field is 300 feet long.
So longer than a football, quite a bit longer than a football field. And he'd wanted to do this, the guy who built it, he wanted to do it like 20 years ago. Supposedly in 2004, he built a half-scale version that he sailed around the canals there in the Netherlands. And it attracted, you know, a lot of tourists and stuff, obviously. So he took that momentum, and he's saying that they think that, you know, 3,000 people could easily fit on this thing. And he's made some, you know, different decisions about what type of wood is available and whatnot. But one thing that's going to be cool is that now that he's built this thing, it should be easy to go inside, scientifically determine what the volume is, to see if you could literally put, you know, a pair of every animal on the planet. And of course, we know already that's impossible. That's why, as controversial as this sounds, I thought that I like some of the theories out there about Noah's Ark actually being a laboratory, a genetic laboratory. If you're going to take it literally at all, that you know, you could not fit a pair of every creature on the planet on a boat, but you could fit test tubes with DNA or something like that from every creature. And this gets into the ancient aliens thing. Now, of course, I'm not saying it's realistic that you could go out and even collect the DNA of every creature on the planet thousands of years ago. But if we're going to take this seriously at all, that at least seems a little bit more sensible. We got to take a break. When we get back, I'll tell you about what a crazy drunk man did in France. And then, speaking of animals, you know, I was mentioning in the past about how primates may be developing at a spooky rate. Well, I have another story along these lines about what gorillas are up to these days. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange. And we'll be back with more crazy, amazing stuff after these messages. final minutes of hour number two on tonight's Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. Coming up next hour, we call it the Dark 30 Hour. This is when we dig into the most outrageous and controversial material. Not for the easily offended, not for the kiddies. And that's why we do it late at night. So consider that your first warning of the evening, that maybe some of this stuff is not suitable for you and yours. So, you know, it's funny. Before the break, I said I was going to read a story about what a drunk guy did in France. I just assumed he was drunk. Turns out, I read the story again during the break, and I think this guy was sober. And that's even worse. That's always worse, to do these kinds of things when you're sober. Olympic fever is what they call what gripped a man in France. They claim in this story here, he's 34 years old, and he was having a big party with some of his friends. And this guy was so excited about the Olympics that just in the middle of this party, he just became overcome, I guess you could say. And he said, you know what, screw it, I'm going to swim to America. And he ran and just dove into the ocean. And, of course, they thought the guy was just joking around. They knew he was a strong swimmer. Lifeguards watched him as he swam farther and farther out to sea. 300 yards is where the buoys are, marking the legal limit. And then he just continued to swim until he was out of sight. Now, mind you, the distance between France and the United States is 3,594 miles. Shelley, you remember how long it took to fly across that ocean, don't you?
Oh, I remember.
Flying hundreds of miles per hour. That was a long-ass flight.
Yes, it was.
So, obviously, you know, once the guy disappeared, it became obvious. We have to call the authorities. This guy's, he's going to die. He's going to die. What would be awesome is if he made it somehow. But no, that's probably not likely. So they had to have a helicopter come out, and a diver dropped into the sea, grabbed the guy, and they dragged him out. They towed him back up. Waste of everybody's time.
Perfectly sober.
That's what, you know, he is a Frenchman, so maybe those guys, maybe they don't even write it if you're drunk in French media. It's just assumed everybody's drunk in France. And then we have this story from Africa. You know, the story here says, well, people have been so fixated on the zombie apocalypse that most people don't realize the apes are quietly rising. Apparently in Africa here, several young gorillas have been spotted destroying snares that are set specifically to kill and maim wild apes, because there are people out there, poachers and stuff. These gorillas have learned what these snares do. It says, quote, two juveniles and one blackback work together to deactivate two snares with impressive cognitive skill. Just 2 days before, one such snare had severely injured a young ape named Nguino, who dislocated her shoulder, and she has some gangrene from that. But they say that what's interesting is not only that they're very adept at now disassembling these things, that last year, scientists in Senegal observed chimpanzees using sharpened spears to hunt and kill smaller mammals before eating them. And, of course, apes are not supposed to know how to use tools to that extent. You know, we've seen them sticking sticks and things into holes and pulling out insects. But no, they basically figured out how to make spears. So we may be seeing an incredible acceleration and ape evolution occurring before our eyes. And they say, amazingly enough here, and this is very weird, even poop throwing is a sign of high intelligence. Scientists have found that chimps who throw their feces often and accurately tend to be the smartest and best communicators in their groups. How about that? Well, we're going to take a break. It's good when we don't have enough time to get around to all the news. It shows you how much it's piling up. When we come back, the Dark 30 Hour. Not for the easily offended. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange. 13 months old.